This Israel report is brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you are based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.
The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, Boker Tov, good morning. How are you?
Boker Tov, we've been so focused on talking about things relating to the war that it's been quite a while since we've talked about economic performance in Israel. And what's quite astonishing is that in spite of this draining event, which is really draining economically on Israel, Israel's economy continues to function incredibly efficiently and well. The shekel has recently been trading around the 333 to 335 shekels to the dollar, which is the strongest that the shekel has been in years. I can't recall any time in recent years when the shekel has been so strong, and the Tel Aviv Stock Exchange has increased in its value this year alone, 2025, more than 20%.
It's actually remarkable.
It's really, really incredible. The latest piece of financial information that's come out of Minister of Finance Bezalel Smotrich says that Israel's monthly deficit in June reached the greatest that it's been in some time. The deficit is currently running at about 16.5 billion shekels, which equates to around 5% of GDP. What's been happening this year is that the deficit has actually been reducing gradually. June was an outlier, and it may well be related to the Iran war, the 12-day war. But June was an outlier in which the deficit increased. But over the months leading up to June of 2025, the deficit has actually been gradually decreasing, which means, in simple terms, that the income that the government has been receiving from taxes and other from other sources has outweighed the expenditure that Israel has been spending on the war and on other services as well. And just to think about the economic strain that the Israeli economy is having to endure. First of all, obviously the expense of running the war. There are costs associated with paying for reserve soldiers, the arms and ammunition that's being used in the war, the extra pay that's being given to even regular soldiers for the extra time that they have been serving in Gaza, the danger pay that they've been receiving, running aeroplanes and running vehicles and all that kind of stuff. That costs money. And of course, the activities have been much, much greater with the ongoing war. Not only that, but also so many people have been recalled up to reserves, which means they are not working their regular jobs, which means that efficiency in the economy theoretically should be reduced because there aren't that many people or aren't as many people with their hands on the steering to keep the economy going. And also those people are earning less money because they are not doing their regular jobs. So that should, in theory, generate lower levels of VAT and taxes and other incomes to the government. And yet the economy continues to do incredibly well. We almost wonder whether there's going to be a moment when this balloon pops and everything goes south. But for now, at least, the economy continues to do incredibly well. The Bank of Israel Interest Rate Committee met the day before yesterday and decided to retain interest rates at the current level of 4.5%, which is relatively high for what Israel has had in recent years. There was a half an expectation that the interest rate might actually be brought down a little. The interest rate committee decided against that, at least in their meeting for now, and the monthly meeting that they had the day before yesterday. But I think there is a general expectation that we should see a reduction in interest rates over the coming months.
It is absolutely unfathomable, but just incredible, nevertheless. Prime Minister Netanyahu and President Trump met again yesterday at the White House. That's in a maximum pressure meeting to secure a ceasefire in Gaza. What do we know what do we know about the result of these meetings?
Well, we know that this meeting took place in the Oval Office and that it took place over a period of about 90 minutes. It was an unannounced meeting and there was no press conference held afterwards. So nothing official has come out of the meeting. Mm. However, there are quite a number of little snippets that have escaped from the meeting, or at least journalists think that they know what's going on. First of all, the picture of the moment is a picture which shows Prime Minister Netanyahu holding a cap, and the cap says, "Trump was right about everything." That's the cap that Prime Minister Netanyahu is holding in the Oval Office.
He's a bit much. It's a bit much, this, you know.
The question is, who is a bit much? Mm. And the two who are a bit much were doing well together in the Oval Office yesterday. And it does bring around a question, which I think is on everybody's lips right now, is to what extent are Trump and Netanyahu really well coordinated and synchronized? Because the headline of the meeting says that Trump put maximum pressure on Netanyahu to give up on whatever Netanyahu was holding out on. And we understand that the one sticking point in this potential ceasefire arrangement is Israel's presence on the Morag corridor, which is a southern corridor that stretches from east to west across Gaza. And Israel has taken certain corridors all the way along Gaza and reinforced them, made them safe corridors for Israeli troops to use to cross Gaza, as well as to create some sort of base in those areas. And it also then prevents the Gazan population from moving from north to south, because these corridors effectively slice Gaza up. And so the Morag corridor, we understand, is a bone of contention. And the question is, to what extent is this all kind of choreographed? And is it true that Trump and Netanyahu are really very well coordinated, well understood, and well synchronized, but they like to put on these kind of shows for the general public, and in particular, potentially for Netanyahu to come back to members of his coalition and say, "Oh, I was forced to do this because Trump put maximum pressure on me to give up on that. And therefore, that's why I've agreed to go with this, because I really had no choice. I was really being driven into a corner and I had to hold that cap with Trump was right about everything and all that. And I was being forced to do these things. And now I've given up on that. And therefore, you know, that's just a fait accompli. That's just the way it is." I just wonder whether that isn't part of the story. Because let's go back a little bit. I mean, I remember listeners writing into me to say, "Why is Trump not allowing Israel to attack Iran?" That was a few months ago. And then you think to yourself, well, maybe they had already agreed what was going to be done. And maybe they are well coordinated, well synchronized, but Trump is kind of doing this little act to show that he's stopping Israel from attacking Iran, and Israel is willing to go along with this particular charade in order to ultimately get what we really want, which of course was the attack against Iran on June the 13th. And then Trump was very, very proud to announce that he'd forced Israeli aircraft to turn around when the ceasefire was being implemented at the end of the 12-day war. He publicly announced, "I told Netanyahu to turn those aircraft around and for them to come back to Israel and not to drop their bombs," because he says, according to the version that Trump released, that this would have been one of the greatest attacks of the war to date. "And I've instructed them not to disturb the ceasefire and to come back in." So again, we wonder, is that just an act? Is it real? Are there really any rays of light between the views that are being expressed by Netanyahu and Trump, or whether it's all kind of just put on show so that each of them can pander to their own constituencies. But in the end, the result is whatever the result is. In the end, there will be a ceasefire. Maybe Netanyahu has already agreed with Trump, already agreed this some time ago, that Israel would vacate the Morag corridor in the interests of progressing a ceasefire. I don't really know. It's certainly an interesting point of discussion, and I'm guessing there are going to be books and written and movies made about all of this and that's gone on. But when you see the picture of the two of them in the Oval Office, it looks all kind of very pally-pally and very friendly. There doesn't seem to be much daylight between the two of them in terms of the way that they're approaching things. They definitely see eye to eye on their approach to talking about these things in the public. And one of the things that was just so fascinating from a press conference that was held yesterday, or the day before now, I can't remember, in the US days, but Trump was asked whether he still believes in the two-state solution. And he then just simply deferred the question to Netanyahu. He said, I'll ask Bibi to answer that one. He is really good. He's really good at all that stuff. And Netanyahu, without batting an eyelid, just went straight in and he gave a great answer, which says that we do believe in the Palestinians having their own self, having control over their own destiny. We don't believe in the Palestinians being given power to attack us. That was his answer,
which is the right answer. You can't argue with that.
You really can't argue with it, and it is exactly what most Israelis really feel. That's the point. So anyway, there is certainly something interesting going on here. Exactly what has come out of yesterday's meeting is unclear. We still very much hope that we will hear about the release of some, at least some of our hostages this week. And that's really what we're holding on to right now.
The conflict with Yemen continues, and that is after two ballistic missiles were fired from Yemen towards Israel on Sunday night. Israel retaliates. Where are we in this conflict?
I think it's in Hebrew, there's this term that they use, which is full steam ahead in neutral. In other words, lots of activities, making no progress at all. We saw that the Houthis have sunk two ships over the last few days around the Red Sea area. And one of those ships even had casualties. I think there were two of the crew members who were killed in the attack by the Houthis. Israel sent the Air Force. They attacked targets in Hodeidah. They attacked one of the previously hijacked ships that the Houthis had taken over. They'd left it out at sea. They had mounted radar, their own radar, onto this ship, which was then being used to carry out attacks against Israel. So, of course, that ship was also attacked by the Israeli Air Force. Two further ships have sunk over the last 2 days, ostensibly ships which have some sort of a link to Israel, but so far we've not heard of any link at all that either of those two ships actually have had to Israel. So those two ships have gone down. The Houthis seem to be continuing to operate almost with immunity. They don't seem to be held accountable by any party in particular. Israel was successful in intercepting those two ballistic missiles. But let's not underestimate what the impact of a ballistic missile is. It's not just simply, throwing mud balls at Israel. A ballistic missile is a very, very serious business. It's an expensive and a sophisticated missile. And being able to launch it towards Israel with that degree of accuracy, where even though it might not necessarily hit the target that was originally designated to hit down to the last 10 or 20 or 30 square meters, but it certainly comes towards Israel at quite a rate and towards inhabited parts of the country, which could be potentially very, very dangerous and very problematic. So the Houthis continue to fire missiles, they continue to sink ships. I don't know where all of this is really going. I mean, in spite of Israel having attacked them on late on Sunday, early hours on Monday morning, it doesn't really seem to faze them. They seem somehow to be able to get up from these attacks and just move on and keep going. So I don't know whether there's going to be some major war, conducted war effort against the Houthis. I mean, even the Americans couldn't keep them quiet. So it's hard
they
for
really
me to understand
are an
what
annoyance. Terrible annoyance.
Yeah, I think, I mean, an annoyance is kind of an understatement because, as I say, when you're having ballistic missiles lobbed at you, it's a little more than annoying. It's a dangerous, you know, they like to, you know, advertise that they've fired missiles towards Ben Gurion Airport and it caused the airport to stop functioning for a certain period of time and it sent Israelis to their bomb shelters. And as far as they're concerned, that's a success. They've successfully hit their target, you know, almost. I mean, even though the missile might have been intercepted and nothing happened. But it is really problematic, and we're going to have to find a solution to that very soon.
That is where we leave at 8 o'clock. Anthony Reich, thank you. As always, you can catch Anthony tomorrow morning for the Israel Report at 7:45.
That Israel Report was brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you're based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.